Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
We're talking about first things first. Can everyone say first? First. And we're going to be in Ephesians 2 today. Do you have your Bible? A couple of people, grab your Bible if you didn't bring it. Yeah. If you got a physical Bible, can you wave it in the air? Like you just don't care or do care, whatever. Yeah, hello. I actually have, this is basically a ruthless TYB plug, but I have the TYB Bible Companion. And if you want to go deeper in God, there's so many resources to help you read the Word of God. This is a great resource. It'll introduce you to the context of each book of the Bible so you understand what's happening in context, and then you can read with that. We have our YouVersion devotional on the YouVersion Bible app. And it's really exciting. This Wednesday, we are launching our night class, which is going to be helping people go deeper in the Word of God, preparing them for the call of God on their life. That kicks off on Wednesday night at 7:30 till 9:30 right here. I think we've got about 20 people coming along. But if you want to come along, it's not too late to be a part of that. We'd love you to do that. And so let's dive in here. We're going to Ephesians 2. But first, let me just remind you, why do we put God first? And the answer is, because He is first. Genius, I know. But here's the thing. If you're living with God in any other space other than first, it's actually not true. It's actually a lie. It's a lie. And the world is living under a deception that God, I mean, Satan is the father of lies. And I got to tell you, he's quite happy for you to have God as long as he's not first. Because the issue is the issue of first. Who is first in your life? Who has final say over your life? Who is your source of help in times of trouble? Who is first? So the battle, the spiritual atmosphere is fighting over first. And we want you to know God is first. Whether you put him first or not, he is first. He's the firstborn of all creation. He is the first and the last. He is first. So the benefit is to you. When you align your life to God first, the person who is blessed is you. You've had a chiropractic adjustment, anybody? Yeah. And you come to the chiro and they... crack it into pieces, it feels like. Feels dangerous. But what's the feeling after? Relief. And sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit, he is so good at this, he brings order. The Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of disorder. He actually brings alignment and order. John 16, the Spirit of truth, he is known as. And what happens when you get aligned to truth? What does the truth do? Sets, come on everybody, it sets you free. So when God is second, you are actually living enslaved to something else. But when God is first, he sets you free. And that's why we've been taking 6 weeks to talk about this, because it is vitally important for your life that God is first. Today we're talking about purpose first. So go to Ephesians 2. Let's read this. It says, as for you, are you there? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Now, everybody pause. Paul is laying out the truth right here. Because there is no context for grace without a first revelation of truth. Now, the truth is, and the world, and a lot of people might not like this, but the truth is, outside of God, we're broken. And the world would say, hey, just unlock your inner champion. You're awesome. There's nothing wrong with you. Just unlock, read these 7 books, 5 poems. It's going to help you. Do this diet. No, don't do that diet. That diet sucks. Do this diet now. Do this, do that. Here's the thing, everybody. We love you. We think you're amazing. We really do. But I got to tell you something. You suck a bit. And I'm telling you that because I suck a bit too. Everybody, we don't just need what's within us. We need Christ in us. Scripture doesn't say it's you in you that is the hope of glory. It says Christ in you is the hope of glory. So Paul lays out the truth, and then we get to verse 4, which now makes grace make sense because he says, but, everyone say a big but. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Verse 10, for we are, this is where we're going to land today, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Lord, thank you for your word. It's alive, sharper than a double-edged sword. Speak to every person, every family, every child represented. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, can you thank the amazing Simeon for supporting me through all that? Love you, man. You may go. So everybody is saying, chase success, build your brand, secure your comfort, live for yourself. But Jesus says, seek first my kingdom. And all these other things will be added. The word seek there means to actively pursue. And this word is not a casual interest in Jesus. This is a wholehearted pursuit of Jesus. And I wanted you to know today, we're not here for a casual interest in Jesus Christ. Can I get a better amen? We're here because we are passionate about him. We're here because we are willing to lay down our lives for him. And if you don't know him, today you can. And you will see that he is worth everything in this life. To let it go in order to have him is a far greater prize. And so we're seeking after Jesus and his kingdom. And his kingdom is his rule and his reign in our life. And so when we come to Ephesians 2, Paul is writing this to the church in Ephesus, but it's what's known as a circular letter. So it's not just to that specific church. It's actually for all the churches in Asia Minor. In fact, they discovered a church addressed to the church in Laodicea, which was exactly the same as the letter to the church in Ephesus. So Paul is not speaking just to specific issues in a specific church. He is speaking to the church. And I like what my TYB Bible Companion says. It says, Paul's passion in this letter is that the church is the body of Christ. It's God's instrument to stand against and overcome any spiritual authority that sets itself up against Jesus and his church. The church is called to be one body that expresses God's fullness on earth as we unite and overcome divisions in the church. We become one body that is equipped, empowered, and mature to extend and enforce Christ's victory over evil. Yeah, that's good. Amen. So here's what you need to know. Number one, you are God's handiwork. Verse 10, we are God's handiwork. And this word translates in the Greek as poema, which is where we get our word poem, which means your life is God's artwork. It means you are God's creative genius at work, something that he has made to reflect his glory in the earth. This means any skills you have, any capacities you have, any abilities you have are the result of God's handiwork, not yours. How you doing? Did I offend you? It's God's handiwork. Reminds me of my son, Oakland. He is always taking credit for my jobs. I'll go and clean the pool and I'll get the scooper out, you know, the pool scooper, whatever they call it. And I grab it and I'm working hard. I'm sweating. I'm out there. I'm doing the job. And he will rock up and he'll just walk in and he'll just place his hand on the pole as I am doing the work. He'll just, for like a couple of minutes, just put his hand there. And then he has the audacity to walk from the pool, go down to his mother, say, "Mom, I cleaned the pool." What? He did nothing. I cleaned the pool. It's like the kid that says, "Look at my assignment. Look at what I did." We all know is your mom. Your life is a gift from God. The fact that you woke up this morning is a gift. The fact that you have breath in your lungs is a gift. And we walk around acting like we're self-made, self-defining, self-sustaining. And like we said 2 weeks ago, we walk around entitled to something that in fact we've been entrusted with. This life is a gift. And we're not entitled to anything. We've been entrusted. Entrustment rails against stewardship, gratitude, and God's handiwork in our lives. The problem with the title, let me remind you, is it assumes God owes me. Everybody, God owes you nothing. God owes you nothing. Romans 11:35, who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. God owes you nothing. He's already given you everything. It's us who owe him everything. Entitlement assumes God owes me. It undermines grace, because it makes it about my works rather than his work. We don't work to salvation. We're not saved by good works. We are saved for good works. And when I get entitled, I start railing against the power of grace. Entitlement is ultimately a fruit of pride. Can I tell you, in our school, in our church, we are not proud. We are not proud people. We should be proud of good things, but we are humble. Can I tell you something? Let me just tell you something. Listen. If the devil is against you, anybody? If you didn't know, he is. All right. Spoiler alert. All right. If the devil's against you, don't worry. Honestly, don't worry. That's not a big problem. It feels like it, I know, but it's not. Here's a big problem. If God is against you, that is a big problem. And if you're feeling worried, that's not bad. Because that's the thing we should fear. Not evil, not the devil. We should fear, am I right with God? Because James 4 verse 6 says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. you want to stay in the slipstream of God's grace on your life, you keep a humble posture. God doesn't owe me anything. I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this school. Thank you for my connect group. Thank you for the cross. Come on, we're thankful people, not entitled people. And here's the thing, entitlement will show up as complaining. And again, I love you enough to tell you this, but God doesn't like it. He just doesn't. And Paul in Corinthians, it's in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 10, he's like, guys, he's talking to them, he's like, guys, just don't grumble because there is a story, there is history on this. You know, the people of God in Israel, they grumbled in the wilderness and straight away God was angry. And look what it says, Paul says, and do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. I'm not going to unpack that today, but guys, God's not into grumbling. He's into critical thinking. Doesn't mean you don't think critically, but a cynical, sarcastic, complaining spirit does not please God. That is not who we are. We are God's handiwork. We are not self-made. We are God's handiwork. Worship is the antidote to entitlement. How do you kill that thing in your life? You just start saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 2 weeks ago, amen. These guys get it, amen. You know that old song? I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I sang it 2 weeks ago. That's what this is. It's actually coming back to thankfulness to the Lord. Thank you, God. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ to do good works. We're going to come back to the in Christ part because it's very important. But look what it says, to do good works. Not saved by them, saved for them. So God's purpose for you, every single person in this room, is to do good works. And I got to tell you, everybody, the mission here is to get your life caught up in doing good works so that you do not have time for all the other commentary. Like, how are Christians, everybody, look at me, don't, people, God bless you, look at me. Christians are loud, talking online. There's so much commentary. There's so much talking. There's so much criticizing, judging, and analyzing. But that is not what we read in Scripture that Christians are to be busy doing. We should be so busy doing good works, we don't have time to sit around commenting on someone else's good works. This is why Psalm 1, how's everyone doing? You doing all right today? Psalm 1 says, do not sit in the seat of mockers, because mockers are always seated. Now, don't feel bad. You're seated. I'm not saying that to you unless it's true. Don't be sick. You know why they're seated? Because they're immobile. They're inactive. That is not who we are. We are ready for every good work. We are caught up in doing good works. I like what Theodore Roosevelt said. Anyone heard of that guy? US president? Look at this. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither knew victory or defeat. We are those who spur one another on to good works. We don't tear down. We don't have commentary about this person and that person. We speak the truth in love, but we are here to spur one another on to good works and to the purpose of God in our lives. Amen. And one of the westernized cultural lies is that you're a customer of the church. That is a lie. None of you are customers of the church. We're not building a customer base for our church. That we are consumers, connoisseurs of spiritual content. That we are attendees of worship. There is nowhere in this Bible that describes you as anything remotely close to that. It describes you as a holy people, the body of Christ, living sacrifices, children of God, called out ones, God's handiwork created in Christ to do good work. We are not spiritual consumers, we are spiritual contributors. Jesus was at the woman with the woman at the well, and he said, "My food is to do my Father's will." Some people are empty, but they're needing purpose. Where do you find purpose? By doing good works. And I honestly, worship team, you can join me. I want to speak to all the men here. Just give me 1 second. Ladies, just let me speak to the men just for a second, and you can cheer me on. Men, do you know that old quote? It says, "The only thing necessary for triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." And look, we don't need just morally good men. We need men who have God on the inside of them. It is desperate times. We need men to rise up. We need men to go to prayer. We're not called to spectate. Man, listen to me. You are not called to be a watcher of ministry. You are called to get out there and do it. You're called to run through brick walls for the kingdom of heaven. You're called to surround yourself not with wet blankets, but with people that are going to spur you on. You need to block some voices in your life that are telling you, "Oh, you're going to the church. Oh, you're doing this, you're doing that." You need men that are going to be around you. Hey, let's go pray. Hey, let's wake up early this week. Let's pray. Hey, let's start a Bible devotion together. Hey, let's lead our family. Hey, let's submit to God and resist the devil. Let's say no to the world's ways and yes to God's ways. Hey, we should live more unashamed for the gospel. In the scripture, people were dying for the gospel and we're complaining about the temperature. Come on now. Let's live for his... We're not here to go casually after God. We're here to pursue him with our whole heart. Let's embody the kingdom of heaven. Let's turn every sphere of society upside down. Let's worship with all our heart. Let's pray with everything we've got. We need men that will step into the gap and do the good works that God has prepared for you to do in advance. Everybody, do you know what is so great about this scripture? It says that God has prepared good works for you in advance. So you don't actually need to chase good works. Somebody's going to be, "Oh, what am I going to do? What should I do? I'm waiting on a word from God. God, what do I do? I don't know what to do. God, I just want to do what you want me to do, but I don't know what that is. So I'm waiting for you to tell me what to do because I don't know what it is, what I should do." It's very stressful. You don't chase good works, you chase God, who has prepared good works for you to do in advance. Who knows the good works that are for your life? God does. So pursue him. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.